Hello, everybody. You're listening to NARC, and I'm representing Triple O Relationships and MeetYourSuite.com. And I've got with me today an amazing guest. He's the owner of the biggest seduction company in Europe. He's the author of a published book, which is called The Natural Art of Seduction, and it's an Amazon.com bestseller. He's trained over 4,000 men live in his Secrets to Attracting Women, and he's known as the best pickup artist in Europe. I'd like to welcome along Richard La Ruina, also known to many of you as Gambler. Welcome along, Richard.
Hey, Mark. Thanks very much.
Great to have you here.
Yeah, it's great. Great to be here. Thanks for inviting me on.
Now, the first thing I was wondering if you wouldn't mind doing is if you wouldn't mind just telling people just a little bit of background about yourself. And how did you actually become known as a master pickup artist?
It was quite an interesting story, actually, and a lot of guys find it inspirational. I was 21 years old when I got my first kiss, and that was because up until that point I'd been so shy, I'd been painfully shy just generally socially, as well as being terrible with women. I was an introvert, I didn't have many friends, I didn't enjoy my school years, I was bullied and had a lot of problems. And so I was really this kind of low self-esteem guy. I got called ugly, and I was coming from a really bad place. So when it came to meeting women, that was obviously not a good starting place, and I had no clue at all. So I got my first kiss at 21. By the time I was 25 years old, I'd kissed two girls, but I was still in the same boat. I was still kind of lying in bed at night, and I wished I could have a girlfriend, but I had no clue what to do. I just didn't know what to say. I didn't know, how to get a number, how to make dates go well. I felt like I was boring. I felt like I had all these problems. And I didn't realize that this was something that I could do. And then one day, by chance, I actually stumbled across one of these pickup artist workshops in London. And there were these guys, and they all looked pretty strange. I didn't know what they were doing. But I noticed that they were talking about women and dating in a really tactical way and drawing diagrams and stuff. And I was skeptical at first, but I kind of jumped into the area. I started exploring it. And then I found all these stories of guys that were like me that had transformed themselves. So I went on that journey, like a lot of my trainers have and a lot of other PUAs around the world have. And it really moved on from there. It took a few months for me to start getting results and getting more confident. And then I got to the point where I decided that, I've been unsociable all my life, and it would be a great thing to start teaching this. So I started doing one-on-one trainings and workshops and other events. And it never really started with the idea that it would become so big, but it's just grown and grown.
Right. And just before carrying on, I'll just let people know what your website address is. It's stealthattractiondvd.com. That's STEALTH and then attraction, ATTRACTION DVD.com. Or you can type in stealthdvd.com as the URL as well, because that redirects. Now, I'm interested. How many women have you actually approached? Because you've done a lot of approaches. Obviously, you would have been there while teaching other people, and you would have had to have approached a heck of a lot of women. Would you have any idea of how many women you've started conversations with?
I could take a guess. I think that when I started, I was forcing myself to approach at least 20 women any night I went out just to get the experience. And then when I started teaching, I had this rule that someone could ask me to demo any time they wanted. And I used to do these 12-hour one-on-one training days. I could just demo at any time. So I think it's in the thousands. I'm pretty confident about that, but it would be hard to put an exact number on that.
Well, 20 in any one day, and 12-hour days training, guys. So that means obviously you're not just going into bars and clubs then to meet women. I mean, 12 hours. I mean, that means you're meeting them anywhere.
Yeah, my day used to be a little bit of theory, and then we'd go out into the street, and the first thing I'd do was I would have to demonstrate a successful daytime approach. You know, so I'd go up to a girl in the street, get in and demonstrate that. And until I did that, I didn't let the student do any approaches. So I really put a lot of pressure on myself. And that's what, you know, really, I guess, helped me push through to the next level and really find things that work and work consistently. Because when you're put on the spot like that, you can't have something that only works, you know, some of the time, and some days you don't really feel like it. You know, I needed to really deliver every time. So, yeah, I've done a hell of a lot of approaches, and a lot of them under a lot of pressure.
Okay, let's say you see a really attractive woman in the middle of the street. You've got one of your students there watching you, and you're going ahead and you're approaching her. How do you go about starting a conversation without even, you know, without it actually looking like you're a bit creepy or something like that? What goes through your mind, and what do you do?
What goes through my mind is different to what used to, and I think that's quite key. I used to look at a beautiful woman in the street and think, oh, I wish she could be my girlfriend. I wish I could, you know, get a number and take her on a date. But if that happened today, I'd be like, oh, you know, she looks nice. You know, I wonder what she's like. I wonder if we get on. So my initial goal is just to start that interaction and see how it goes. And when you take a lot of the pressure off, it really makes it a lot easier. So my goal will just be to engage her in conversation. That means that I don't have to come up with anything too amazing or too clever. Often you do, but, you know, it's simple to just go up and you can ask for directions. There's tons of different ways to open. So you could do something really safe. If you've got a lot of approach anxiety, you could ask directions, ask the time, ask where the nearest Starbucks is, something like that. If you're more comfortable approaching, you might want to say something a bit more direct. You might want to approach her and you know, do something that will really blow her away. My trainers all have different approaches, and I've tried all of them, and I think each have their place. So you might approach a girl and just tell her that, you know, you saw her and you just have to come and say hi. And tell her that she has X being, you know, a unique thing just for her. So an amazing sense of fashion, or, you know, she looked like she had a great energy, or she was just stunning, and you just had to come and tell her that. This is a nice approach, because even if it doesn't work, you can do it knowing that you're brightening up the woman's day, that when she walks away from that, she's going to have a smile on her face. So I like approaches either that are kind of, you know, indirect to begin with in the daytime, so that she can get more comfortable. It's different from the night, I think. So indirect in the daytime works pretty well to start things off, or coming in very direct. Something else that works nice is obviously things relating to the particular situation. These are tough because they're obviously not canned lines, but guys can kind of walk around a busy area and just look at women and think about what the situational openers might be. Or the observational openings, the things that kind of pop into your mind when you look at her.
Okay, well, it's one thing to get a conversation started. What about moving it along a little bit and actually, you know, going from there? I mean, is your goal to talk for long, like have a conversation, like especially if it's during the day? I mean, do you really want to hang out with them for half an hour, or is your goal to talk for 2 or 3 minutes and get their phone number, or if assuming you like them, of course?
I think there's a pretty good structure for day games, and the end result could either be a number or an instant date. So an instant date being that you talk to her for a bit and then you take it to a coffee shop. You know, you chat for 5 minutes and then you say, oh, listen, you know, I've got 30 minutes there. Let's go for a quick coffee. And that's quite a nice thing to do. A lot of guys leave too early and they forget that they could actually, you know, spend a bit more time, and that will mean that, you know, when they want to see her again, she'll be much more likely to see them. But there's a nice structure for day game. I think it is a little bit more simple than night game. Guys normally master it faster when we're training them. And a nice way to structure it is like this. So let's assume you're approaching with an indirect opener. So that could be anything from asking directions to the nearest Starbucks, all the way through to a recommendation for a present for a female relative. You're starting off with this, and this is great because she feels comfortable engaging with you. But the problem is, it's very tough to close off of these subjects. If you talk about something impersonal for too long, you know, you can't say, oh, great, you know, thanks, a recommendation, so you think I should get this and this, okay, can I have your number? You know, it doesn't flow. So a lot of guys get stuck there because what they're missing is the second step. So that's great as a step one, but step two, you really need to something. So at some point, you should introduce yourself. So I might just say, oh, I'm Richard, by the way. You exchange names. You can ask her, you know, what she's up to today. And you can start relating subjects to her and asking more personal questions. Anyone on this webinar that's asked the girl, you know, what's your name? And she said, why? It's because you've tried to be too personal too quickly. And that's why this is the second step. She's already about a minute. She's comfortable. But now it's time to personalize things. By doing this, you're closer to getting that number, getting that date. But still, it's not quite perfect. So I would add in a third step. And again, there's only three steps, so it's going to be nice and easy for guys to remember this when they go out. But the third step would be that they set the date up in the smoothest way possible by finding a common thing that they can do together and suggesting it. So you might be talking to a girl, it's been a few minutes, and you say, oh, hey, do you like going to bars and clubs? Just as a general example. And she says, yeah, I go sometimes. And say, well, listen, me and my friends, we go to some really cool parties. You should come out with us. Bring your friends. She'll say, yeah, sounds great. Hand her your phone and say, cool, well, you know, put your number in and I'll text you next time we've got plans. It's such a smooth number close. You're not putting any pressure on it. You're not saying, can I have your number? Would you like to go to dinner with me? Can I take you on a date? So the nice thing about this whole 1-2-3 system is that the open is really low pressure for you and her. The transition's really smooth, and the close is really smooth because you're never putting anything on the line. So in kind of, I don't know what that was, a minute, that's what I'd suggest for the guys going out and getting success in the daytime. In terms of times, you can do a lot in 5 minutes. But probably the longer you stay and the more you connect, the more solid the numbers will be.
A lot of guys actually wind up, even without doing any techniques or anything, they wind up getting in conversations with women that they like, and they never actually know if or when to ask for a phone number, or they just never manage to make that step. You know, could you just give maybe a couple more examples of just nice and easy and smooth ways to just ask for a phone number?
You either want things to naturally pop up in the conversation that you can then use to close. So she could say, I went to this restaurant the other day. It was really nice. It was Thai food. And you could say, what's your favorite food? Is Thai food your favorite? She'll say, yeah. And you could say, oh, there's this amazing Thai restaurant, on Wardour Street. We should go sometime. So again, you're using something that you know she's interested in to set up the close. You could find out that she likes cocktails and take her to suggest that you go together to a really nice cocktail bar. Maybe she likes art and there's this art exhibition that, you know, she hasn't been to and that you haven't been to. You could go together. It could be something as simple as both liking, you know, walks in the park, you know. It's like, yeah, we should go for a walk in the park sometime. Again, you can suggest anything casually. And you're just looking for that agreement, that nod of the head or that yes. And then you just hand her your phone, say, cool, you know, stick your number in and we'll arrange it sometime. Something to bear in mind is the reason for getting the number doesn't have to be your first date. It's just the reason for getting the number. You could suggest you go to the art gallery or something like that and then end up meeting in a bar. So it's just making that number as smooth as possible. So when you're in that situation that you described where, you know, you're talking to the girl and you're thinking, oh, I really want to get the number. How do I do it? Just look for those hooks. Look for those reasons to see each other again, those things that could be a shared interest or a shared experience. Suggest it. She agrees. Hand her your phone.
I think part of the key is just things like feeling natural. And a lot of these sorts of things for guys, they don't always feel natural, like when they first, you know, when they first start doing it. But the fact is, like, for me anyway, like, I mean, I'm married now, so I'm out of the dating game myself, but go back six years now before I met my wife, when I was out and about meeting girls and stuff, like words like "Hi, how are you?" That's really, really, really common for guys to go up and approach a girl and say "Hi, how are you?" And it's not necessarily the right thing to say or do or whatever, but it's just it feels natural because you've been doing it since you were born.
Uh-huh.
And I found that asking for a phone number began to feel like just as natural as saying "Hi, how are you?" Every bit as natural as that after I'd done it, maybe one time during a night, any given night. Ask for one girl's phone number and it becomes, all of a sudden the pressure's off the rest of the night, it becomes really easy. Or just in general though, once you've done it enough times, 15, 20 times, all of a sudden, you know, just for guys listening, it actually feels just as natural as any other part of conversation. I think a lot of guys build it up too much and you've got to actually just get in there and start getting used to it. Like you should end almost every conversation with a new woman, even if you don't like them as more than a friend, like to try and get their contact details because maybe you'll have something else in common, like as a friend. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, for sure. The last thing you said is actually really important. A lot of guys go out and they're just thinking about getting laid, and then missing a huge thing, which is female friends in a female social circle. Give any guy a bunch of cool or attractive female friends, and his chances with women are just going to skyrocket because he's going to be surrounded by women all the time, that female energy. He can kind of get to know women much better instead of being around guys all the time. It's just, such a helpful thing. He'll also be introduced to a lot more women through these friends. So, me going out in the early days, I actually messed up for my first couple of years because I was just approaching women and trying to get their numbers or kiss them or take them home. And I was missing out on a massive thing, which was just, meeting cool people and getting that female social circle. So that's something really important. And yeah, you can use it as a way to kind of practice conversations, starting conversations and also going for those numbers and just getting comfortable around women. And that really does apply to everything. So like you said, you do something the first time, it will feel weird and clunky, if you're someone that doesn't gesture or touch naturally or doesn't hold strong eye contact, you're going to be really conscious of it, for a while. But then you're going to get it and it's going to click and you'll see your results improve and you'll feel confident doing it. And that's really a process that a lot of guys go through, is that at first what they're doing feels different, strange, alien, weird, these things. And then after a while, it all just clicks and it all becomes natural. So yeah, for me, I'm not now, talking to a woman and, analyzing things and, measuring my words perfectly and, planning the next minute. It all just flows naturally. And that just comes from having done it successfully and having that kind of roadmap, just how, when you're driving home, you don't really have to plan ahead the route. You're just kind of doing it on autopilot.
Yeah, it comes naturally to you now, but when you started, obviously, it doesn't start out. It wouldn't have started feeling natural like it does now. What did you do? What were your sort of training wheels, or what did you? What thought process, if you can remember, what thought processes went through your mind that led you to be where you are now? Like, what did you do to help things out? Did you have anything memorized, or did you have a structure in mind, or did you just simply approach so many people and that you figured it out, or what happened?
I had a rough structure, and I went out and I put it to the test. And I guess that helps, If you go out and you've got a roadmap, that's something that can really help you. It gives you a confidence boost and it gives you an idea of what you should be doing. So I do suggest guys go out not just with, with an empty mind, but actually have ideas. So, I've given you the day game roadmap, for example. Go out and put it into action. You might want to tweak it a little bit, but it's proven it works and it'll get you results. The other way to look at it is to look at the whole, look at your end goal, which might be getting a girlfriend. And let's break that down into some steps. So the step before getting a girlfriend is, going on a date with probably a few girls. And if you go back to the first step, it's starting interactions with a lot of women. You have to think of it like a pyramid. You're not going to be able to approach one girl and she's going to be your wife. So get comfortable approaching, get good at approaching. Then what's the next thing? Getting good in conversations, getting good at getting numbers, getting those numbers to convert it onto dates. So, you know, when I went out at first, I couldn't approach and then figured it out. And then my conversations were awful. And then they became okay. And then I didn't have to get the number. And then I figured that out. And then the next step was all my numbers flaked. So I was so happy I got these numbers. And I texted the girls, I called them, and they didn't want to see me again. And then I figured that out. And then I'd go on dates, and the dates would be boring and awful and go wrong. They wouldn't want to see me then. And then I figured that out. So look at the whole, you know, series of steps you need to take. Reward yourself for passing each one. Don't just say, oh no, today I still didn't get a girlfriend, I still didn't get laid. Reward yourself for those small steps along the way, because I could have looked at my first 3 months as a total failure, or I could have looked at it, which I did, in terms of, you know, huge success, and every week making an improvement, and every month making an improvement, and every day making an improvement. So that's kind of a mindset and a way to do it. Have a roadmap, have the motivation, and I really think that this stuff's been around for enough years, and there's enough successful case studies and, you know, and guys out there that have been in exactly the same situation that you're in, and that have made it to the goal. So, you know, that's what motivated me. I looked at these guys and I said, you know, they're not genius. They're not, there's nothing so special about them, and they've done it. So, you know, he's not cleverer than me. He's not, there's nothing different. I can do it. So I had the motivation, and I had some tools.
What, like, your students, are they, like, all age groups, or are they always, like, young men or older men, or, like, I'm just interested to know the stuff that you're teaching, like, how have you seen it play out in terms of success rates for, before we get on to more specifics about how to build attraction and the works, how have you seen it played out in different age groups of men?
If we do a boot camp, and let's say we get 14 guys on it, we'll have a couple of guys 18 to 21. You know, in London, the drinking age is 18, so we can get 18-year-olds on a boot camp in America. So we have a couple of young guys, and we'll have a couple of guys in their 40s and possibly 50s, and that's on one event. So the age range is very diverse, as are all the backgrounds. There might be a guy that's kind of saved up for 6 months, and there might be some real rich dude, you know, who's just money's no object. So there's a complete mix of ages, professions, ethnicities, and, you know, any way that you can slice guys, there we've got the entire mix. One thing that probably unites them is they may be more towards the introvert side than the average population. And they're not these kind of cocky guys. They're not these cocky, arrogant guys, which is nice, because we're generally working with really nice guys that we love to help. In terms of success and results, there's really no common factor in who will get the best results. So it could be the youngest guy, the oldest guy. It could be a guy that's good looking or a guy that's not at all good looking. But there's really no common factor in there. And I think that having trained thousands of guys, the method works, and we'd only tweak it in small ways that kind of take advantage of someone's natural personality. So some, let's say a young high energy guy, you know, he can go around the club and be high energy and, you know, spinning girls and doing dance moves and doing crazy stuff. An older guy, he's going to be walking around, he's going to be a bit more like James Bond, you know, a bit more laid back, high status, alpha. So we play for people's strengths within, you know, within the methods, but we can work with everyone.
Okay. Now, I'm just really interested to know, like, let's say you're out in town, let's say it's a nightclub or something like that, or even just say a bar situation. What's your thoughts on memorized openers? Like, have you got any favorites that you use, or do you pretty much just do it situational dependent?
I've never, I used to use loads, but I haven't used one for a couple of years. And I think my view on them is that I think they're great training tools, you know, to get started. And the idea should be that, you know, you use them as a crutch, and then, you know, when you get comfortable and confident and stuff just comes to mind, you obviously stop using them. So there's kind of an evolution that happens in a lot of guys where, you know, they might be using 90% prepared stuff, and then that percentage just drops and drops and drops to the point where they're using none. So I do have some favorites, you know, stuff like, you know, are you confident enough to accept a sincere compliment? Good, so am I, you go first. You know, stuff like that is always funny. But I like to say that there's kind of a different mental mode that's needed when you're remembering and reciting versus listening, paying attention, and creating things spontaneously. And it's tough to, you know, to switch between the two. So as much as possible, it's good for guys to really exercise that and, you know, stay in set when longer than they would normally, at that point where they run out of stuff to say, you know, just stay in there and maybe do some, you know, have some conversational goals in mind and a bit of a structure for the conversation so that they can just improve their natural conversation skills and become more interesting.
What sort of structure? Like you say, having a conversation structure, one of the biggest problems that a lot of guys face is actually running out of things to say. And it can get guys to be a little bit nervous when it comes to approaching women, more from the fact that they're going to run out of things. Like, what sort of structure do you have, or what could you say to people that would help?
Well, the first thing to realize is when that normally happens. Normally, they run out of stuff to say when they ask a series of questions in a row and just get to a bit of a dead end, something that they don't know about. So, for example, he might say something like, have you got any pets? And she says, yeah. Oh, what have you got? And she says, a dog. Oh, what's his name? Lucky. Oh, how long have you had him? What type of dog is he? It's a Dalmatian. Oh, cool. And he gets stuck because he's just gone way too deep. He's asked too many questions in a row. Because he's asking so many questions, she's made her answers shorter and shorter, and she's kind of closed up. But that's the point where it happens. A technique that you can use that is really, really kind of instant and doesn't require that you work on your conversation skills. I'll give you a tip on conversation skills right after. But a technique that you can use right away for dramatic effect is that you've got to visualize this right now because you know, I'm not right in front of you. So visualize it. And imagine you're talking to a girl and you ask her, what's your favorite food? And she says, pasta. And then when she says that, you think about what you're going to say next. You're like, okay. And what do you do when you're doing that? You break eye contact, you look to the side, and you go, you make the noise. As soon as you do that, she thinks that the ball is back in your court and it's your chance to come up with more stuff to say. If, however, you say, what's your favorite food? And she says, pasta. And you look her in the eye, and you nod, and you pause, and you don't she will do one of two things. She will either elaborate, oh, yeah, I like, you know, a tagliatelle with a creamy mushroom sauce. Or she will ask you back, and she'll say, what's your favorite food? So that's a really nice technique that you can apply right away. Anytime you run out of stuff to say, you just hold the eye contact, you don't look away, and you remove those ums and ahs. And you can even prompt her a little bit. But in 95% of cases, she's going to come up with something to say. And in 5% of cases, you're going to use the extra time to come up with something to say yourself. So that's my kind of, you know, instant fix technique for running out of stuff to say. But a more long-term solution is to try and follow a good conversational structure and practice it. And conversation skills is a massive area, but I'll try and give you just, you know, 2 minutes of the best stuff. What I would suggest is that you structure in the following way. I used to do this training session where I'd get a really attractive girl, you know, an intimidatingly hot one that, you know, guys could barely hold eye contact with because she was so beautiful. And I'd sit her down and I'd get the guy in the room and I'd say, go on then, you know, have a conversation. And he'd say, what's your name? Where are you from? What do you do? And on average, these guys would ask 15 questions in a row with nothing in between apart from cool. Oh, okay. No statements, nothing about themselves. They just asked 15 questions in a row. The record was in the 30s, and it only ended because the girl said, stop asking me so many questions. And she shouted at him. I mean, I wanted to see how far it would go, but it would have probably gone on forever. And the reason guys do this is because they feel the pressure, and a great way of offloading pressure is asking the other person the question. You know, that puts the spotlight back on them. So when guys feel nervous and they're talking to a woman, they feel the pressure and it's really beautiful, all they do is ask her a bunch of questions. They don't know the structure. When they know the structure, they're going to stop doing that. Ask her one question, fine. But the next thing you need to say, it has to be a statement. So she's going to give her answer, and you're going to force yourself to make a statement. At the end of that statement, you can tack on another question, but what you're aiming for is 90% statement and 10% question. If you look at how, if you kind of imagine how, you know, imagine the waveform of that conversation, you might have conversational chunks that are 20 seconds. So you're talking for 20 seconds, then she might talk for 20 seconds. This is how people talk when they're comfortable with each other. They talk for longer. They don't just ask a quick question, quick answer, quick question, quick answer. It's not like that. It's longer. That's how you talk to your friends. Watch what you do. So you're going to ask her a question, and she's going to say something, and whatever comes to mind, you're just going to say it. So if you ask her where she's from, and she says Norway, say something. Say, oh, wow, you're from Norway. I've never met anyone from Norway before. I can't even picture what Norway would be like. That's fine. That's better than asking her where in Norway. And then she tells you Oslo. I think that's in Norway. It's told you Oslo. And you're like, oh, cool. How's that? You know, how long have you been in America? And she's like, oh, 3 months. What are you doing here? Oh, okay. You know, that conversation is going to die. It's going to go nowhere. And she's going to escape from it just by making a statement, even if it's lame. You know, and a lot of them will be, but even if it's lame, you'll be amazed at how it works, because you're taking the pressure off her, you're not putting her under the spotlight, and you're actually rewarding her for every piece of information she gives you. You're showing her that you're listening and not just waiting for the next question to ask. So you're going to reward her for everything she says, and what's going to happen quite quickly is she's going to start opening up, and instead of her just saying Norway, she's going to say, oh yeah, I'm from Norway, I'm from a small town, and you know, I've just moved to America. My friends came a few years ago. They really loved it here. And, you know, I came here because I want to work in, you know, modeling, and this is really the place to be, or whatever. And you start getting real information that, you know, is telling you about the real person, not this kind of bullshit CV information about how old she is, where she's from, and, you know, her hobbies. So that's how I'd structure conversation. And don't forget my killer little tip for when you run out of stuff to say.
Okay, so let's say you've got a conversation going now. Like, you know, that's really good. Like, you've basically given some good ideas for getting it moving. But let's say you've got it going. What's the difference between a normal flat conversation that lasts for a length of time and an actually vibrant conversation that winds up leading to the woman actually feeling some attraction towards you?
This is when it starts to get complicated, because there are tons of ways to build attraction and to turn that from what you might, you know, imagine those heart rate monitors, imagine a flatline conversation and then one with, you know, loads of spikes in there, or she's getting, you know, excited or shocked or, you know, on the edge of her seat or whatever, and you're spiking all these emotions in her. There's tons of stuff you can do. One of the things might be to connect with her. So this structure helps you to connect with her, because every time you make a statement, you're talking about things that she knows about and you're making an attempt to connect. So that's one way. That's kind of the most basic. But there are a lot of other things you can do. So you might try to mix things up and be a little bit, you might be a little bit funny. So a nice reaction to get is when she's kind of shocked, laughing, or hits you on the arm. So that would mean that you said something cocky. So, for example, you know, you might ask what she's, you know, what are you doing? Oh, I'm a student. I'm going to be an architect. I'm doing architecture. Architecture? What's the point of that? Why don't you just become a stripper? To say something that is shocking and funny, but with a smirk. Okay, so you're saying it with that playful face. She knows you're joking, but she gets to be in a position where she never knows what's coming next. It makes the conversation, unpredictable. You should also do things like, you know, I was talking to a student of mine that had been out on a date, and he'd basically been very agreeable with the girl. She'd said, you know, hey, later let's meet some of my friends, and it would be two guys. And I said, well, do you think she would have liked to meet two of your friends on your first date? And he's like, no, of course not. I said, so why did you go along with that? So something guys should remember is it's fine to break rapport sometimes, you know, to say what you want, say what you like, and say what you don't like. This is very important. A woman doesn't want to meet a guy that likes Sex in the City and shoe shopping and, you know, ballet and all this stuff. You know, she wants a guy that has his own interests, knows what he likes, and isn't afraid to say it, you know. So if she says that, you know, she wants to watch the new Twilight film or something like that, he should say, oh my God, well, I guess you can go with one of your girlfriends because that looks lame. You know, I didn't go in a million years. And again, you can say it playfully. You don't have to be nasty about it, but you're showing that you've got, you know, that you're your own man, you make your own decisions, and you're not just going to follow her around and do whatever she wants. So it's important to take the lead, to mix things up, to not always seek rapport, but to break it sometimes. And that makes things so much more powerful. If you tell a girl, you know, I don't like this, I don't like that, no, I really don't like that kind of music, it sucks, or I don't like that bar. You know, tell the truth, if you actually do not like it, tell her. And it will be so much more powerful when at the end of the date or whatever you say, you know what, I've really enjoyed talking to you, I think you're really cool. You know, we should spend more time together because you're really cool and you're fascinating, or something like that. It will have a lot of power because she knows you're not just one of these Me Too guys that's just trying to, you know, say anything it takes to get her into bed and just agree with her and, you know, go along with everything. So it's nice to kind of be your own man and stay strong and say what you like and disagree when you want to disagree in a nice way.
Yeah, I mean, it makes total sense too, because in reality, when you see real conversations with your friends or even between other people that are dating and that kind of thing, honestly, I mean, who ends up in a long-term relationship with somebody, or even, I mean, who becomes really good friends with the person that's always agreeing with you all the time? You kind of want people to have their own opinions.
I was looking at this, and I was looking at the people I surround myself with and the people that I could surround myself with that don't. And the clear thing is that I really want someone that calls me on my bullshit, that says, listen, you know, you're being an idiot here. What are you doing? Or, you know, you messed up there. Or, you know, it's like if I say, do you like this new jacket? And they'll say, no, I don't. This is the person I want around me. I want the truth. I want my friends to be honest with me and help me become a better man, you know? The same with the women I date. The worst thing is to force something to work that doesn't have any, you know, that just doesn't deserve to. So you're setting yourself up for a lot of relationships that are going to go wrong. If you meet her and you don't like a girl that smokes, but you say fine, and you don't like a girl that, you know, chews chewing gum, and you say fine, and you don't like a girl that, you know, goes out and parties all the time, and you say fine, and you don't like a girl that, you know, whatever. Don't do that. Stick to your guns. And it doesn't mean you're going to lose her. If anything, you're actually going to have a much better chance of keeping her, because the thing you're instantly demonstrating is this guy's honest. He tells the truth. That's what women want. You know, she doesn't have to wonder what you're thinking all the time, because you can just tell her. You know, we would appreciate that as men too. We don't want a woman that goes telling all her friends, you know, stories about us and, oh my God, you wouldn't believe what he did. And, you know, she doesn't even tell you. You know, you're thinking everything's fine and she's moaning about you. You say, would you like to go for, you know, do you like Italian food? And she's like, yeah. And then you go and she hates it and she never told you. You know, we want someone that's honest, and women are used to meeting these guys that will just me too and agree and, you know, everything she says. And so you're really in a very small percent of the population when you can show, you know, your true colors very early on in a relationship, and you can move a lot further. A lot faster. And like I said, you're not limiting things. You could meet a girl that is not right for you, but you do these things and you're still going to build attraction, and she's going to know you're not right for each other. So, you know, she's going to decide that she's attracted to you, she wants to sleep with you, and you can have a casual relationship. And depending on where you're at in your life, that might be what's right for you. Going out and trying to fake it all the time is just going to be a recipe for broken hearts in the end, because you're going to have relationships that don't work, and you're going to force things to happen that shouldn't.
Well, I just bumped something. Okay, so when you're getting all these, whenever you're going into like a bar or a club or even to a shopping mall and you start meeting women, like you manage to get girls to, like women to actually want to follow you around places. That's how much they like being with you. How does that happen?
I think there's a lot of elements at play, and one of them, I guess, that comes across is that kind of take it or leave it attitude. And she picks up that vibe, and she picks it up because, you know, you're not trying to win her over. You're not going up saying, oh, you're really pretty, can I buy you a drink? You're casually starting something, and you can walk away at any minute. You're not too bothered. You're also in your mind, you're not looking at her, and you've not already decided that you want her number or that you want to kiss her or that you want to sleep with her. You've seen her and you thought, you know, she's worth starting an interaction with. And she's got to maintain her value to you. And if it drops, you're going to... And the way you do that is instead of looking at a beautiful girl in a bar and thinking, oh my God, she's so amazing, I'd love to take her on a date. Oh wow, imagine she was my girlfriend. Look at her and think, yeah, she's beautiful, but, you know, she's probably... She's probably, you know, really easy and talks to loads of guys. She's probably going out all the time getting drunk. She's probably, you know, a loser with nothing going on. You know, expect the worst and let her prove you right, you know, or wrong, and see how it goes. And when you go in with that attitude, it's something that she feels, you know, she can't help but notice it. And it's such a difference, and it's such a, you know, a turn on versus every other guy is just going up and being fake to her and telling her how great she is. She knows she's not that great. She just isn't, you know? So it just doesn't sound right when she's just getting told it all day long. Everyone has their insecurities and their problems, and, you know, we know that that woman in the bar, 90% chance she's not right for us. But why do we go up and treat her like she's the, you know, the ultimate human being? We should go in skeptical, knowing that, you know, most relationships don't work, you know, and very, you know, you've got a small chance that you'll get along. Go in there skeptical and let her prove you wrong. And when you demonstrate that's just coming out of you, because that's what's in your mind, that you're looking at her and thinking, I wonder if she's up to my standards. Go in there and have it, write down, you know, something you can do is write down a list of your standards in women. I want a woman that, you know, is thin and keeps fit and, you know, doesn't smoke and likes to read and, you know, doesn't read celebrity gossip magazines or whatever. Write your requirements down and go over with that stuff in mind. Wonder if she matches up. And if she doesn't, don't give her so much credit. And if she does, it will be a genuine connection and she'll feel it. Instead of you coming in and just me-tooing, she'll realize that you're coming in and you're kind of, I wonder. And that's really what women do. They look at a guy and think, I wonder. They don't look at a guy and think, I want to have sex with him. They look at him and say, oh, he looks interesting, or, you know, he's got something about him, he looks confident. I wonder, you know, I wonder why, or I wonder what's going on. And she'll be skeptical all the way through, and you have to win her over. And that's what makes it so exciting. But you can make it just as exciting for her. And that's what gets her chasing you and asking for your number, is reversing those roles.
Now, we're going to carry on. I've got a lot more questions to ask you, and I know you've got a lot more stuff to share. I just wanted to let people know that there's a question and answer box. If you're there live on the webcast right now, feel free to type in your own questions, and we'll be getting to those further along. I've got a lot of really good ones coming up in just a moment, and I know you've got a lot of great stuff to share. But just before that, would you mind just spending maybe just a minute just quickly telling people about the free DVD giveaway that you've got going on today?
Sure. Well, this is something we just started today. It's not going to be something that's around for very long at all. I'm talking a matter of hours or at most a couple of days. And this is a DVD set that we're giving away for free. We're giving away three DVDs packed to the brim with my kind of latest techniques. It's the most advanced stuff I teach. It's field tested. It's incredibly powerful. And, you know, it's real cutting edge stuff. At the same time, I'm also giving away a free live event with that. So we're holding live events all over the world, and you're going to get a free ticket. It's going to be a full day of, you know, live coaching from me and my best trainers. You're going to get a bunch of great stuff. It's all for free. And, yeah, you can read the full details at stealthdvd.com. But, again, you know, we discussed this the other day, and I did want to keep some some copies for your guys, but we only printed up 2,000 of these DVD sets, and I've got 50 for your guys at DVD.com. So, you know, they're amazing. I totally recommend them, and the guys that have tried this stuff and learned these techniques in, you know, with me in London have done amazingly, and I personally have tested it with kind of all age groups and all different sticking points and types of guys. So, you know, I'm pretty confident that this is the best material out there.
Awesome, awesome. And just before carrying on with the interview, I just want to just get the spelling of that for everybody. That's stealthdvd.com. That's S for Sarah, T for Tiger, E for Eagle, A for Apricot, L for Lion, T for Tiger, H for Hugo Boss. So that's stealthdvd.com. So stealthdvd.com. And it's likely to sell out sometime over the next couple of days and possibly even today. It's a free DVD set that you guys can get from Richard, who I am currently interviewing right now. Okay, so write down that web address, and you might want to check it out after this call. Okay, so carrying on, how do you go about escalating things from you know, a great conversation through to actual physical contact?
You know what, we didn't talk before about questions, but you're really getting some great stuff here, because escalation is I think my favorite area of all. Because I love taking a guy that, you know, he gets in those situations where he's with a girl and he wants to kiss her and he just doesn't pull the trigger, or he messes it up, it goes wrong, whatever happens. And we do a few little tweaks. The nice thing is, it's so simple. And when we do that, we just see, you know, the results come instantly. And, you know, the smile on the guy's face when he's just kissed a beautiful girl, you know, within 20 minutes for the first time, then within 5 minutes for the first time. That's kind of, you know, that's my favorite thing of all. So I love this stuff. And for a long time, I was doing it wrong. I was talking to girls, and then I'd feel this big anxiety build up. You know, just like approach anxiety, maybe worse. So I was like, okay, I want to kiss this girl, but how do I do it? And I looked at all the pickup stuff, and I was like, okay, I need to say, you look like you're imagining kissing me, or can I kiss you? Or I need to just jump in there. But that's the big move. You know, we're talking about travel, and we're talking about, you know, work, and we're talking about all these things. How do I go from that to going for the kiss? So half the time I didn't do it, the rest of the time it came out really clunky, and I'd been so worried about it that she wasn't attracted anymore because my confidence had just fizzled away. So it took a while, but I figured out something that I'm, you know, that is so tested by me, that just works fantastically. And I'm going to describe it again. I'm going to do really, you know, quick version, and you guys really need to pay attention to get the key points, you know, visualize it if possible so you can imagine doing it out when you're talking to a woman, so that you can apply it next time you go out. Let's paint the picture. Talking to the girl, you know, you've been talking to her for 5, 10 minutes, an hour, first date, whatever you like. And you know that point where you think, I want to kiss her. You all feel it. It's not, you know, it could be right away. It could be after a few hours, but we all feel it. It comes at some certain point. And that's why I don't need to tell you guys when to do it. You know when it feels right. So instead of making one of these, you know, big plays, what you're going to do is you're going to start slipping into a more seductive character and create sexual tension. And there's really a recipe for this, and it's so easy and natural, including the candlelines or any stuff like that, those things. So you're going to be there, and you're going to be talking to her, and you're going to start doing a few things differently. You're going to slow down your rate of speech. You're going to hold a more constant eye contact, 100% if you can manage it. You're also going to start introducing pauses into your speech. You might occasionally look down at her lips. And you're going to change the way you look at her from being the kind of way that you'd look at one of your male friends or your brother, actually looking at her like you want to kiss her. She's going to start to feel that sexual tension. And for me, the definition of sexual tension is eye contact and a pause. In that moment where you're looking at each other, you just pause for a second. Her heart rate will speed up. Your heart rate will speed up. And that's really what sets the scene for KISS. So, you know, as well as I can demonstrate over audio, that's kind of the seductive character. And what you're looking for is you're looking for her reaction. She could be into it and start looking at your lips and, you know, giving you IOI, tilting her head to the side, which means she's kind of subconsciously preparing for the kiss. Or she could just stay there. If she just stays there and looks at you, that's a total green light, because imagine if you were talking to a guy and then he suddenly started to seduce you. You'd be like, whoa, what's going on? You know, and you'd back off. So you're not looking for any positive signals. Guys out there looking for signals before they go to the kiss, throw that out the window. Just look for the negative signals. Look for whether she backs off, turns away, starts breaking eye contact, raises the energy, takes a step back. All of it will be very subtle. She can't say, whoa, what are you doing? Or you know, slap you. There's no way on earth, because what you're doing is dialed up slowly and smoothly, and there's nothing that she can put her finger on. There's nothing verbally that's changed. You're staying talking about something, you know, the same subject as before. You can talk about the food you like or whatever, but you can start doing it, and instead of thinking about the food, you're going to be thinking about kissing her, and you're going to be slowing down and smoothing out, introducing those pauses, more solid eye contact, looking at her mouth sometimes. And she's going to feel that tension build up, and you're going to see how she reacts to it. If she stays there, she likes it. Get closer. Rub your, you know, stroke your fingers through her hair. If she likes that, if she stays there, or if she leans into it, it's on. She kind of looks at your hand like, whoa, you know, what's the game with his hand? It's not on, you know, but stroke your fingers through the hair. And if that works, the kiss is right there. You know, if you slow down, smooth out, you create the sexual tension, your heart rate's racing, you can feel it in her face. Get a little bit closer, introduce those pauses, and don't ask if you can kiss, just move in really quickly and give her a kiss. She might turn her face to the side. If she does this, it's not a rejection. It's just her saying, you know, I'm not that easy, or I'm not ready yet. If she does this, and what I want you to think about in this case is, imagine a guy tried to kiss you on the lips. Would you turn your face to the side? No, you'd lean your head way back. So the fact that she's just turned her head to the side means that she likes it and wants to kiss you. She just wants to make you work a little bit. So kiss her on the cheek, kiss her on the neck, kiss her on the cheek, kiss her on the other cheek, kiss her again, and then go for the kiss in the middle. And so in all of those cases where, you know, maybe in the past you've got the cheek, think about what you could have done. And in 100% of times when that happened to me, I've managed to turn it into, you know, proper kiss right after. So the kiss code is something that, you know, guys get wrong tons. And I can honestly say that since I figured this out 2 years ago, I've never been rejected for a kiss. I've never had, you know, the huge reaction back, what are you doing? I've never had any of that in the past 2 years.
Oh, well, that's amazing. Okay, well, taking it further than that, how do you take things beyond that then to the next level of physical touching?
What do you mean, Mark? What's beyond that?
No, well, and do you normally touch them, like, before that as well? Like, you know, like, hold their hand or... you know, a pat on the back, or like, what's your thoughts on that? I know other pickup artists have their own things to say. I'm interested in knowing what works for you.
I'm really touchy-feely. I think that sexual tension, though, is a bit of a replacement for what might be called chemo-escalation or escalating with the touch. By creating the sexual tension, you're really just paving the way for the kiss very smoothly. But with the other stuff, I'm normally on it right away. So, you know, when I start, if this isn't, not in the daytime so much, because you normally have a bit more distance between you and you're not generally trying to kiss a girl in the street, although our trainers that specialize in day games do that quite a lot. One of our guys brought me a video of something he'd done literally today, and I just watched it. It was quite amazing. But generally in the nighttime, it's good to start off with a touch. It should be a light touch. But you can touch in a lot more places than you think. You can use the front of your hand, the back of your hand. You can touch her upper arm, lower back, front of the leg even, you know. And I work in this stuff very early on, And something to think about is if you've got a friend that is quite touchy-feely with you, meaning he might hug you or he might, you know, touch your arm as he's talking to you, think about how you deal with that guy. You know, you don't have a problem with it, it's fine. And he's the guy touching you. You don't feel it's gay or sexual, you know, it's fine. So what that means is you could meet a woman, and if you touch her in that way, she's going to be completely fine with it right away. Generally, escalating with a touch is something that guys should try and get a handle on, because it's quite tough to, you know, to not touch a girl at all for half an hour and then start trying to do it then. So if you want to, you know, take her by the hand and take her to get a drink or take her out for fresh air or something, it won't be easy for you to do that. You'll feel a lot of pressure to do that if you haven't touched her at all. But if you work in those touches very early, it'll be quite easy. And I think a lot of guys worry about being sleazy. But the thing to remember is that sleazy is an unwanted sexual touch. You know, so two things, unwanted and sexual. So if you're touching in a way that, you know, your friend does, who's just really touchy-feely with you, that will be the perfect way to kind of get used to touch a woman that, would be a good, you know, first step towards the kind of sexual escalation.
I heard one guy just write in saying, how do I get a girl to want to dance with me?
I like to, well, it depends. What do you want to do? Do you want to do the situation? Let's do the situation when you're on the dance floor first. So you're going to be there and you're going to be dancing, and don't look at the girls too much. Just stand there and have, or not stand there, you know, be there and dance and have fun. And what will likely happen is the women will all come and dance near you. The reason is you're not checking them out. You're not trying to get near them or grind on their ass or any of that stuff. So they end up running away from all the other guys that are doing that on the dance floor. And you could pretty soon have women around you. So that's kind of the first step. The second thing you want to do is as you're dancing, you want to kind of catch a woman's eye. So you want to kind of put your head to the side and look at her. And if she looks back, you might wave, or you might kind of do a thumbs up about her dance move. Or you might kind of point at your eyes and kind of say, watch this, and do some, you know, silly dance move that makes her laugh, and then kind of point at her like it's her turn. It's something like that, non-verbally, to break the ice. Because remember, we're on a dance floor, so it's very noisy. So you can't just go up and kind of talk to her and have a normal conversation. If she's dancing, she won't want to do that. The next thing after you've done that is to just hold your hands out in a kind of, you know, come here kind of way. So you hold your hands out, palms up. She takes your hands, do a little bit of dancing together, spin her around. You know, a lot of women like being spun around. Don't stick on her like, you know, like glue from that point. Give her a little bit of space, take a step back, dance a bit, and then step back in, take her hands again, and work things up from there. After you do that for a couple of minutes, you might want to, you know, start talking to her, introduce yourself, but remembering you're on the dance floor, so you can't really have a proper conversation. So you say, hey, listen, let's go get a drink, take her by the hand, lead her off, and then you can have a proper conversation off the dance floor. So that's how I do it with a girl that is on the dance floor. Sometimes this girl's kind of around the edge, and obviously you don't go up and say, would you like to dance, or why aren't you dancing, or something like that. That's what most guys would say. Go up to the girl and say, you know, can you dance? And she'll say, yeah. So, okay, cool, let's see. You know, let's see what you've got. And just take her hand and lift her out. Or say, do you like dancing? She'll say, yeah. And then you say, can you salsa? And just as you say it, just take her hands and start salsaing. Do three classes and you know the basic steps. It's like six steps. And once you've got those, you can do a bit of salsa. So there's tons of ways of, you know, dancing with women, and it's something that is good to get in your repertoire first, because most women love dancing, and if you're kind of going out with a lot of women all the time and then they all go off to dance, you'll be sitting on your own while they're doing that if you can't dance. The second thing is that it's obviously, you know, much easier to get close to them on the dance floor. So, good question, but probably most guys listening to this just wouldn't be comfortable on the dance floor. So I'd suggest you get out there and desensitize yourself and maybe even do some lessons to get used to it.
Okay. I've got Greg from Orlando just said, you talk about the hook point and mention bantering. Do you rely on bantering to get to the hook point? How do you go about doing that? I've bantered successfully, but it turns into a banter war, and the relationship never moves forward. We just become buddies. Do you have any rules of thumb for bantering, or do you just keep doing it until you reach the hook point?
Yeah, I kind of do. There's too many definitions. It's tough to know exactly what one person means when they say bantering versus another. But generally, you don't want it to turn into a banter battle. And the way to do that is to not make it the only thing in your arsenal. So, you know, anyone that's read The Game by Neil Strauss knows that, you know, the woman might say, "What do? And he says, "Oh, I work at McDonald's," or "I'm a disposable cigarette lighter repairman." And he's got one of these, you know, silly responses that might make her laugh. But the problem is when they try and keep it up and keep saying, "No, really, I was the employee of the month," and they keep going on and on. When you do that the first time, you're funny. Do it the second time, you're evasive. The third time, you're annoying. So a good thing to do is to mix it up so that your first response can be evasive, misinterpreting her, you know, sexually misinterpreting her, cocky, funny, whatever you want to call it, coming back with something that is not the expected kind of cocktail party conversation, you know, and then the next time you give her real honesty. So, you know, the example I gave earlier of where you kind of laugh at the girl, make the joke about her wanting to be an architect. After you make that joke and she kind of looks shocked and laughs, you say, "No, actually, really, that's actually really cool that you're doing that. I like it. You must be very dedicated because I hear that's one of the toughest courses you can do. You know, are you doing it because it was your passion, or have you got, you know, is it your parents that they just really want you to be a high achiever and you're from one of these high achiever families?" You know, ask her something like that, and you're showing both sides of you then. So if you're getting into this silly banter war that just doesn't go anywhere, it's probably because she can't take you seriously. So she's just going to use you for a little bit of fun and entertainment, and she's going to go and talk to a guy that's got that honest dimension, and that she can have a real conversation with sometimes, you know, as well as the banter.
Okay, Tom from San Francisco is just saying that he's been going back and forth between a relationship, between friendship and dating with a girl. He's interested in dating, but not sure if she is. How can I clarify the situation, is what he's asked.
The only way you clarify a situation like that is, I think, by escalating. So you won't know if she's interested or how interested she is unless you test it. So I gave the kind of escalation, you know, technique earlier. And when it's a friend, it might be slightly different, but you want to create that same kind of situation. So the first thing, you don't want to verbalize it. The worst thing you can do is say, "You know what, I know we're friends, but I really want to be your boyfriend." You know, that's a potential disaster. It might work 1 in 10 times, but there's a way to work it, to make it work a lot more of the time. What you want to do is you want to have fun with this woman. If you're spending time with her and she's a friend, she likes you in a lot of ways already, so you're most of the way there. What you want to do is you want to wait for a situation where it's just the two of you, and, you know, she's relaxed and maybe she's had a glass of wine or something, even better, you know, and you're with her, you might be in a bar or something, and you want to escalate in a playful way. So tease her for something, call her your bratty little sister, you know, that kind of stuff. When she says, you know, something bad happened to her, say, "Oh, poor baby," you know, something like that. It's playful, but it's getting closer to her. Tickle her. Do stuff like that that allows you to get close to her, touch her, and escalate and do things that a boyfriend might, but again, without triggering that rejection response, that point where you say, "You know, I like you, do you like me?" And she can say no. You're not asking her. You're just trying to create that situation. You tickle her, you play fight, you know, you do some silly stuff, and then you stop and you pause and you look at her and you feel in the air, is that sexual tension? Is she enjoying that? When you look at her and do that, does she hold the eye contact? Is she into it? Does she look at you in a different way to the way she normally looks at you? If so, the kiss is on. If she just breaks the eye contact, it's not the right time or it's not going to happen.
I've got a guy that said that I'm a very shy guy when it comes to approaching and talking to women that I'm attracted to. How do I get over this? My angst is so bad that I sweat buckets. Man, that is embarrassing.
You can do a lot of things. I would suggest going to, there's something I did. I did acting workshops at the weekend. I did a, you know, 6-week TEFL course where I had to stand up in front of groups and teach them English. I went to salsa classes. And every time I did this, the first I blushed, I was scared, I was shaking, I had butterflies, my hands were sweaty. I had all these problems, but do it a few times and that just diminishes. When you're approaching women, you approach your 10th woman that you approach, you're not going to be as nervous as the first. So literally go out there. Don't be fussy. Don't only approach women that you find attractive enough to marry. Approach old women, young women, groups of women, whatever it is, and pick an opener. Pick an opening line that allows you to go in very easily and escape unscathed with no chance of her, you know, doing anything bad. Get enough experience doing that, and you realize that women are nice, they're friendly, they're much nicer than men are, and you're not going to have anything bad happen to you. Your confidence will grow. You won't have sweaty palms, and everything will get a lot better. So go out and pick. Don't have any expectation of getting numbers. You know, just deal with this. Go out and have a list of 10 openings that you get from anywhere. You know, you've given a few examples, and I'm sure, Mark, you've given these guys tons as well. So go out. You know, where's Starbucks? You can ask 10 women that. Where's, you know, wherever you are, for some street in the area, ask, you know, a recommendation. Do you know where the nearest bookshop is? Whatever it might be, and start small and get comfortable doing it. And then you can tack stuff on. Do you know where the nearest bookshop is? Yes. Oh, because I'm going on holiday and, you know, I want to get a book. What's the best book you've read recently? You know, and start making it longer and longer and longer. Before you know it, you'll be getting into conversations. But again, take that completely out of your mind when you start. And if you have the goal of stopping and having interactions with 100 women, you'll be well on your way. Something else you could do is just tack on a compliment at the end. Stop the woman, ask the stylist, say, oh, thanks so much. All right, see you later. And by the way, you know, lovely scarf, or, you know, you're stunning, by the way, or you've got incredible fashion, love your boots, whatever. As she's walking away, you know, she'll love it. That'll put a smile on her face. You know, imagine you were walking in the street and, you know, a gay guy came up to you and said, you know, where's this street? And you told him. He's like, okay, thanks, mate. And then you were just walking off and he was like, oh, by the way, you know, you're really handsome. You know, have a great day. You'd walk away and you'd be like, oh, no, this gay guy just tried to hit on me. And then you'd walk a bit further and a smile would creep in your face. And you'd go, oh, I'm handsome. That's nice. You know, we love it. We love compliments. And there's no agenda behind it because she's on her way off. So, you know, if you're there and you've got approach anxiety, I hope that makes you feel better. I'm going to give you one more technique on approach anxiety, actually. Let's all do this now. Imagine you see a beautiful girl. Picture her in your mind. And then imagine that you go up to her and you say, you know, you're really pretty. I like you. And she says, no, I'm not interested. I've got a boyfriend. Goodbye. And she walks off. And then look at yourself in that situation and think about how you feel. Do you feel proud of yourself that you least approached? Do you feel happy that you found out that she wasn't single and that it wasn't possible to work? And then imagine that same situation where you're there and you think, oh, I should approach, she's really beautiful. Oh, what should I say? What should I do? And you just stand there and then she walks off. And as she's walking, she maybe looks at you and smiles at you and then carries on walking. And you're like, damn, another regret. You know, she could have been the one, she could have been a girlfriend. Oh, I'll never know. What am I doing? You know, you feel much worse from not approaching than approaching and having it go wrong. So there's, you know, when you think about it in all these different ways, you will find one way that makes it easy for you to go out there and start approaching. And don't think of numbers or sex or girlfriend, just focus on the approach. And get that handled. And I can guarantee you, every man in the world can get to the point where he can go up, stop a girl, and talk for 20 seconds. Every man in the world. Get good at that, and then, you know, maybe get in touch with Mark, and we'll talk about the next step, but you'll be so happy and confident just from that you probably won't need any more learning afterwards.
I'm in a relationship, obviously I'm married right now, but when I was single, and even now, sometimes my friends sort of see me as the kind of guy that doesn't actually. I meet girls for my friends sometimes when we're out in town because I'm sort of seen as a guy that just doesn't seem to care. I've got no, like, issues, but the thing is, I do. Like, if I'm going up to women or whatever, I am nervous. Like,
what?
And to me, it doesn't actually matter. It doesn't even matter if I've got sweaty palms. It doesn't matter if I'm, like, as nervous as anything. It really doesn't matter. Like, none of it does. What matters to me is whether I do it or not. And I don't know about you, but I always find that the first approach in any night is always the hardest. And then after that, you get some sort of high. I don't know what it is, but it's probably similar to having maybe two or three glasses of alcohol or something, or probably better than that, because then the rest of the night you're buzzing, and it's not a problem at all. It's the first approach in any given day or night, to me anyway, that's the hardest, and it doesn't matter how nervous you are. You just do it anyway, and it doesn't matter what the outcome is.
Yeah, so what's your thought? Go in the bar and approach before you get a drink, and that can be your reason to leave. Go up to the girls and say, hey, how you doing? Listen, I'm meeting some friends here, and then we wanted to go somewhere a bit more lively. Do you know anywhere good in the area? Oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. All right, cool, I'm just going to go get a drink from the bar. I'll catch you later. By the way, I'm Richard. Oh, okay, nice to meet you, Sarah, blah, blah. Go to the bar and then get your drink. You've just met a group of women. You can go back to any point in the night, and you can say, oh, my God, my friend's running late. You know, but I'm going to introduce you to him when he comes in. He's such a cool guy. You know, like, you do like cool guys, don't you? You know, and you will just feel good all night long just from that rejection-proof way of starting that first interaction before you get a drink. So, yeah, Mark, what you said there is spot on. You want to get things going straight away. And it's like that in anything, you know. And, I think I was reading some guidebook when I was going to Hong Kong, and it said, if you want to bargain, be the first customer of the day, because it's kind of, you know, luck that they want to get the day off to a good start and start selling their, you know, their electronics or whatever they're selling as early as possible, you know, the first sale. And then after that, you know, they might start to bargain harder or whatever. So, you know, in anything, you want to get things started. And the worst thing is to just stand at the bar and think about it and, you know, ponder. You're outside the bar, you're going to open the door, forget the drink, forget hanging your coat up, forget going to the toilet. The first thing you're going to do is you can go up, talk to a woman or a group of women, and then you've got the perfect excuse to leave, you know, and go and do that thing. So, yeah, don't hang about. That's some great advice.
Cool. Okay. Now, let's say you've got a conversation going, you met someone great. Let's say you've got their phone number. What do you do from there? How does because I had a few people punch this in as a question. You know, once you get a girl's phone number, how do you make her into your girlfriend?
You just send the text. It's a magic text, and it works 100% of the time to get her to be your girlfriend. No, I'm joking. But there are some simple things that will dramatically improve your success rate and your chances of first seeing this girl again, you know, on a date. And from there, you could take it further. So first thing is, like I said earlier, it will be a lot more solid if you arrange, you know, the date there and then, instead of waiting to do it by text. So at the time you're actually with her, find out what she's doing in the next week, you know, suggest some things you can do together, and then get the number. She's going to be a lot more likely to respond. Don't make the mistake, you know, that when they follow up, it's basically, you know, nice to meet you, do you want to go out sometime? That's all wrong, because, you know, that's what most guys do. It just doesn't work. So there's a few things you can do to stand out and maximize things again. And some guys prefer text, some guys prefer phone. So I'm gonna go text first and then phone. Really, you can use either, whatever you're most comfortable with. That will give you the strategy for both. If you're texting, you do not, like I said, say, hey, nice to meet you. You know, do you want to go for a drink tonight? Or do you want to go for a drink sometime? Absolute disaster, because you might have met her and she really enjoyed it. She's smiling and laughing. But when you text her, you don't know what she's doing. You might be catching her at the wrong time, you know, and in the wrong state, and then she's not thinking about you. And she'll feel that, you know, she'll feel the pressure from that. She's got to commit to a date in that moment. So the first message should be, you know, hey, let's say you meet her on a Friday or Saturday night. Text her on a Monday and say, hey, you know, it's great to meet you on Saturday. You know, how was the rest of your weekend? One question in there. No X's, no smiley marks, you know, nothing like that. Don't make it too difficult to respond. It's got five questions in there. She'll look at it and she'll be, I know I do that. I look at a long text message with loads of questions. I'm like, oh, God, you know, maybe I'll answer that later. Make it really simple for her to answer. When she answers, you're looking for signs of how interested she is. So if she just writes back and says, oh yeah, that's good, thanks, not so interested. If she writes back and says, oh yeah, that's good, thanks, you know, on Sunday I just chilled and, you know, relaxed, slightly better. If she writes back, oh yeah, you know, I went to lunch on Sunday and, you know, and I watched a movie at night. How about you? What, you know, how was your weekend and what are you up to this week? X, smiley face. Then she's really interested. So you want to kind of put her on a scale and see how interested she is. And if she's interested, you can say, what are your plans this week? And she says, you know, obviously you answer what she says, but your next question, there's always one question in each message. Next question is, you know, what are your plans this week? Oh, I'm doing this, blah, blah, I'm free on Thursday. Oh yeah, you know, look, why don't we do something on Thursday? We could meet for a little bit, maybe do, you know, X, which is that thing that you talked about. Yeah, cool, sounds good, blah, blah, blah. If you get a response that is less warm, when you suggest a date, might want to do it a little bit more casually. So instead of saying, are you free tonight? Are you free on Thursday? Do you want to go? And she just says, no, no, no. And then, you know, that just dies. What you want to do is, you want to, once you've called, you want to take a little bit longer to respond. And you want to say something like, well, you know, listen, me and my friend are going out on Friday. It's going to be a really cool party. If you're around, you should come. If she says no, I'm busy, you don't lose any value. You know, it's not like just sitting at home and she's out partying. She knows you're doing something fun and you've just invited her to tag along. So she could say no. And she could say no to an invitation like that 5 times. You know, oh, me and my friends are going to this really cool sushi place. You know, come along, bring one of your friends or whatever. Or we could meet for a drink first before I go. Or, you know, I'm going to be out on Friday with some friends. We can meet for a drink first. She can say no to that 5 times in a row. And you're not losing any value because it's a casual suggestion and you're already doing something. So leave it a while, throw these out now and again, and you might catch the right mood if she wants you. Like I said, most of the work is done in that initial meeting. But in the text, you really want to avoid that fatal area, putting so much pressure on, showing too much interest with smileys and X's and all that rubbish. And, you know, just keep things simple. One question is like, you know, how is the rest of your weekend? What are your plans this week? Oh, cool. Well, you know, maybe we could do something on Thursday, and let's go for a thing on Thursday. When's good? It's, you know, 7:30 or 8. Make it, assume it. You know, let's do something Thursday night. When's good for me? 7 or 8. She'll write back and she'll say 7. You know, you're not asking her, do you want to go on a date on Thursday? You're kind of leading and assuming into it. So a lot of things you can do in the text messages. Those are, you know, some of the tips. I guess I could talk about it for an hour, even just with a text. But those are some quick tips. And if you're on the phone, it's a similar principle where you're going to sense the receptivity. So if you call a girl and you're like, oh, hey, how are you doing? She's like, who's this? Like, it's Richard. And she's like, oh, hi. This girl's not going to go on a date with me that time. So I'm just going to talk, you know, maybe about some fun things over here, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, see you later. Bye. You know, talk to you again. Bye. You know, see you later. I better go. I'm cooking something, it's burning, and I'll see you later. And you're going to end the call first, and she's going to be like, what? You know, why didn't he ask me on a date? Next time you call, and she might be, oh, hey, Richard, you know, a bit more warmed up. So you're sensing the receptivity. Sometimes you call a girl, and she's like, oh, hey, Richard, oh, wow, how are you? And, you know, especially if it gains weight when you first met her, you're going to get that kind of response. And when you're getting that off the bat, obviously you know that you can go for the date pretty soon in the conversation, and it's going to stick. So kind of call up and, you know, get a feeling for where she's at. And if it's not ethical, call back in a week. Don't call back the next day. Demonstrate that you can take it or leave it, that you're busy, that you're high status, and that you've got things going on in your life. You're not just going to call her and invite her out every day. You know, do you want a date tonight? How about tomorrow? Okay, I'll call you in a minute. Hey, what about tonight? You know, that's just a guy that's just losing value all the time. He's just thinking and thinking. You know, call her once a week. You might catch her when she's in the right, you know, women's mood changes all the time. You're going to catch her one time. She's like, oh, hey, Richard, how you been? Actually, yeah, I'm just chilling at home watching a film. Oh, what film is it? I don't know, Gladiator. Oh, amazing. Oh, I love that film. You know, I lost my DVD. Do you like popcorn? Yeah. All right, well, text me your address. I'll come around and watch it with you. All right. You know, you get crazy situations like that happening spontaneously. So that's a little primer on text and phone game. But, you know, like I said, I'm trying to just bang through these questions so I can give guys the key information in the shortest possible time. And I hope they're kind of keeping up and taking the principles away and they're going to apply them.
Yeah, I think you've been giving some really fantastic information, and I really appreciate the amount that you've been sharing here. It's been great. Dane from New Zealand has just written in saying that he said, I'm in my mid-40s and separated, and I'm meeting women in the same situation. Is the psychology and strategy of attraction and dating exactly the same?
I think at that age you can be a little bit more, you know, there's less games to be played. I think if the women are looking for something else, they're looking for a man that would be right for a relationship for them. They're not just looking for guys to have fun with generally. I think you need to play the kind of high status game. Like, how would the CEO act in that situation? How would man, really the box you want to tick is a guy that will be the leader and kind of look after and be the man that she needs. It's a slightly different game. I think you want by this time to have a really clear idea of what you want and what kind of woman you want, and really put yourself in the situations where you're meeting that kind of woman, instead of, you know, going to a nightclub and meeting the wrong type of girls. You know, pick somewhere that you really like, and the women in that environment will more likely be right for you. I think it's easier to approach. You know, those women are not going to be inundated with guys grabbing their butts and stuff like that. So, you know, approach in a gentlemanly way, have a good conversation. And if anything, it's probably a little bit easier as long as you can find the women that you're into. It's probably quite easy to get baked in that situation, because I think the women know what they want by that age, and they're not so resistant. You know, all these concepts of fit shields and, you know, all that stuff is just not so relevant when they get a bit older.
Yeah, also, just because you're in your mid-40s doesn't mean you should limit yourself. I mean, if you are one of those
crazy
guys.
Yeah, crazy to do that. If you are attracted to, you know, women in their 20s, do not think that they're out of your league. If they're totally in your league, and there's tons and tons and tons of examples everywhere of younger women dating older men, and think about it, you're this guy that's got so much life experience and wisdom, and you've just done so much more than her. You can teach her so much, and compared to these, you know, silly little teenagers, you know, you can offer a ton more stuff. So, you know, go in there with confidence and play to your strengths, your status and these things, and that's really what you should work on. You know, think James Bond.
Do you happen to ever use or teach or know how good using, say, Facebook or MySpace or other online dating services? Do you find any of that helpful for meeting women?
I'm not an expert in online dating. I've done it a little bit, but I do prefer to kind of meet people face-to-face, especially women, because obviously there are certain things you can't do online.
Yeah, no worries. I'm just curious about that.
I do use Facebook, though, and a valuable tool. I think that in the example I gave of where you might get a number and it's just not that solid, she's not giving you much facts in the text or the phone call. You know, text her and say, hey, what's your Facebook, by the way? And she writes back, add her on Facebook. If your profile has pictures of you, you know, with your family and with little kids and, you know, cute animals and traveling and, you know, she sees you as a real person. That is actually worth, you know, many minutes of connected conversation. Once you're friends on Facebook, you can't be some, you know, stranger. You're someone she feels like she knows. You can't be some, you know, potential serial killer or anything like that. It's someone that is real, and you're going to greatly increase your chances. So I don't go and kind of track women down on Facebook and try and get them on dates from there, because you know, that it's tough to find out enough information for me to know whether I'd like to date them or not, without meeting them face to face. But once I've met them, definitely adding them on Facebook is really powerful. If you've got your profile. So, you know, don't just have a picture of you sitting on your own looking inside and, you know, in my good surroundings. That won't cut it.
Okay, and what about guys that live in small towns, especially if there's a poor male to female ratio? What do you suggest those guys do to even the odds of it?
Small towns in some ways are harder and in some ways easier. So, you know, I've been to a lot of places in the world when I'm teaching, and guys always think it's different where they come from, but it's not. Generally what you've got is, in the city, women are used to being approached. You've got more kind of commerce and business, so the men are generally, you know, more alpha and more confident, so the women are hit on a lot more. Any of these kind of big meat market bar and club places where, you know, people go on a Friday night, all get drunk and all sleep together, they're in the big cities, and you know, it changes things slightly. It means they've probably been approached before. You can't, you know, surprise them too much. It's tougher to impress them. They've seen a lot before. When you get to a small town, you can approach someone. They're like, what? What's going on? Someone's approaching me. You know, it's a strange thing. You know, in London, to do something crazy in the street or to be approached by someone, it's nothing. But if you go to, you know, somewhere with a 100,000 or 50,000 or 200,000 population and you do day games, for example, she's probably never had that happen in her life. They don't have all these people working in the street. They're trying to stop people. And so what you're going to get is an extreme of responses. You're going to get one where either she's, you know, she's going to be shocked and it's going to be really different. And she's either going to love it or she's going to be like, whoa, this is just really weird. So you tend to get more extreme responses when you do it. But that makes it all the more rewarding when the good ones happen. And I think in that small city, it is easier to kind of dominate. You don't have the, you're not up against guys, you know, celebrities and DNAs and, you know, all of this stuff. It's just regular guys. So with a bit of game and a bit of an idea of what to do, you know, and some techniques like the ones I've been talking about, but also, you know, all of the others that will work for you, you can go out and you can literally dominate. You can build a social circle of all the hot women that live in the city, and you'll have your pick. You know, just make friends with them first, and you can, you know, go up and approach girls with stuff that they, you know, they've never had happen before, and given experiences they've never had happen. So, I think, you know, if I were to take my game and apply it somewhere, and, you know, have it blow people away, it would be in the smaller town. You know, but I made the decision to move from a smaller town to a bigger one, purely for the reason that, you know, then I could meet women from all over the world, all different, you know, careers and backgrounds and things like that, and that appealed to me. So, you know, don't be afraid to radically shake up your way of living. It'll make you grow as a person, and I think a lot of people grow through travel and putting themselves in new situations. So don't be afraid to do that either. But there's really no difference. So wherever you are in the world listening to this, there are some small cultural differences, but, you know, game is game, and you know, women are attracted to the same thing the world over.
Now, you've got a special offer that's, this is just for people that are listening to this call, and basically you've got a limited number of copies of a free DVD set that you've put together. Can you just tell everybody all about it?
Sure. We printed up 2,000 of these sets. I've reserved 50. We discussed it, and I've reserved 50 for you, Mark. I couldn't really do more than that. I know that there's a ton more guys than that listening to this, but what it is my stealth attraction method, and it's a step-by-step method of taking things from the first glance all the way through the interaction, the conversation, all that stuff, to the pool and back to the bedroom. So it's a way that really reduces the chances of getting turned down or rejected to pretty much zero. So like a lot of the stuff that I talked about today is smooth and efficient. Is I want to make it as easy as possible to get going with the self-attraction method and start getting the results as quickly as possible. So what I want to do is I want to just flat out give you a bunch of stuff that will show you exactly what self-attraction is, exactly how to use it, a complete package with nothing left out. Just like I've done in this call, nothing left out, nothing safe for another time, everything you need to know. I'm not going to try and sell you, you know, something. I'm not going to try and sell you some $1,000 system in a big box with, you know, silly binders and stuff in there. And, you know, there's a ton of place for these high-priced programs, but this is not what I'm about or what this is about today. So I'm going to give you this for free. I've got a special package for the guys on this call. I'm going to be giving you the DVDs that we recorded at a $2,000 a head seminar about a month ago now. It's not even that long ago. This is later stuff. Seven guys at that seminar, and I've done all types of backgrounds, ages, experiences, everything you can imagine to get a really diverse group. And they had all kinds of sticking points. They learned the system. It was nice and simple, just like the stuff I've given on this call, but the really advanced stuff. And these guys all got laid within 2 weeks. Two of them took an extra week, five of them got laid in the first week. If you put this stuff on the, you know, that you've listened to today was great. Self-attraction and DVD is going to blow you away. I shot this footage at a live event, and that was my first self-attraction seminar. It was $2,400 to attend. And the guys on the call, if you can believe it or not, if you take this offer right away, I'm going to be giving you a free ticket to your very own self-attraction event, which is going to be exclusive for the guys that take this offer, where we'll be going into everything in a huge amount of detail. It's going to be having things all around the world. So, you know, just to sum up, I'm going to be giving you guys a free $200, a live event worth $2,400, and I'm going to give you a free month of my monthly coaching club, where you'll get DVDs, webinars, workbooks, and an unprecedented level of access to me personally. You get a free month, and after that, if you want to stay a member, you can. All the details are at the page I'm going to give you when you follow the link in just a minute. And, you know, again, thanks for having me on the call. And guys, go ahead and go to the page. You need to go to stealthdvd.com, stealthdvd.com. Stealth with a T-H, not with an S. stealthdvd.com. And, you know, Mark, I've really enjoyed this, and I hope the guys on the call have enjoyed this as well. And if they have, I can comment all of this out. You can help see this. The self-attraction system works incredibly for me. It's worked incredibly for my students. And I'm very confident that it's going to be incredibly powerful and give you fantastic results.
Awesome. I think it's been absolutely amazing, all of the value that you've shared on this call. I hope people take action with what you've learned. This potentially life-changing stuff. And that web address, once again, is stealthdvd.com. Just think of a stealth fighter jet. It's stealthdvd.com. to get your Stealth Attraction DVD. Thanks again for being here, Richard, and for everyone listening. Take action, and we'll see you next time. Bye, guys.
Cheers, mate.